This week we have been reading a few excerpts from the book of the prophet Amos. We have another one today. Amos is often referred to as the prophet of social justice because so much of his message was a declaration of the neglect that the people had for the poor. Not only neglect, but the misuse of the poor. So social justice. They were violating basic principles of love of neighbor. At the same time, they were putting confidence in their very upright religious practices. You might say that the people of Amos' time, at least in the northern kingdom where he was sent to prophesy, you might say that they're like the Old Testament Pharisees. The Pharisees in the Gospels are the ones who are very dedicated to keeping up religious appearances, but they're not really good. They just look good. Well, that seems to be one of the difficulties that Amos was running into. The people were religiously complacent, but they weren't really dedicated to God. And so he was hammering away at them, and like all the prophets, trying to move their hearts to conversion. Every prophet, every preacher, really, wants to have such an impact on people that they actually change. And usually what happens, well, there are two main possibilities. One is people are so moved, challenged, struck, pierced by the word, or encouraged by the word, that they actually do change. They respond to the word. The other option is they get so annoyed at the prophet that they shut him down somehow, either get him out of that town or kill him. So that's why prophets are often killed, because people are so troubled by their words. So either people will accept and be converted, or they will not accept, and then they'll blame the prophet for bothering them. Why don't you just shut up? Why don't you stop bothering? Why do you keep accusing me of all this? Just get out of town. That's what we saw yesterday in the first reading. Remember, the priest of the temple in Bethel said, you can't talk like this. Get out of here. So, now, there's a third option, I suppose, at which people try to practice. That is to say, oh, here's a good word from a prophet, but it doesn't really apply to me. I hope my husband hears this. I hope my troublesome neighbor hears this. That's another thing. Oh, what a good word for someone else. A way of kind of diverting. That kind of reaction doesn't work very long, because eventually the prophet or the preacher will say, no, I'm not talking about someone else. I'm talking about you. This word is for you. And that's how the Lord speaks to us, right? He doesn't usually give us words for others. He gives prophets words for others, but he usually is speaking to our hearts first, and we're the ones who have to respond, either to accept it and be changed, or shut it down and reap the bad consequences. Okay, so that's the way it works with prophecy, and especially Amos, he's constantly pointing out how the people are not responding to God. They're not returning love for love. They act like they are, they talk like they are, but they're not really. And today's first reading gives us a good example of this pseudo-religious spirit. Amos is describing this in words that they themselves would never really say. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath that we may display the wheat? In other words, in their hearts, they're saying, okay, I'm going to do this religious stuff because it's required and I have to look good, but I can't wait till this is over and I get back to business. I get back to cheating the poor and get back to corruption, back to making more money. Well, okay, they might look religious and they think they are, but they're obviously not. And so Amos is holding up a mirror in front of them and said, this is what you're really saying. You're really saying, I don't care about you, God. I don't care about real religion. What I really care about is gain for myself. Then at the end of this passage, today's first reading, we get this very intriguing prophecy of what happens to people like that. This is what the Lord says. The days are coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine upon the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but for hearing the word of the Lord. The famine of the word. I've always been intrigued by that. That God would allow people to not hear his word, or that he would let them experience him not speaking to them. Anybody who's dedicated to pondering the word can know how frightening that threat is. What a terrible thing it is to be deprived of the word. It would be like being cut off from food and water. It's a famine. Now, in the days of the prophets, the way the Lord could implement a famine like this is he would just stop sending prophets. You know, people couldn't read for the most part, so there wasn't much written communication. The word was passed on by proclamation. So all the Lord had to do is not send another prophet, and the people wouldn't hear the word. In our times, because we live in the age of social communication to the highest possible degree, and every possible word can be broadcast around the world instantly, good or bad, it's harder to think of this kind of famine of the word because, gosh, people have the word at their fingertips all the time. I've tried to use this technology for good. Sometimes when I'm hearing confessions and I want to give people a penance, I used to hesitate to tell people, well, why don't you read the story about the conversion of Matthew, or why don't you look up Psalm, 29, or I would come up with a scripture passage, and I would hesitate because people don't have a Bible, and they don't know how to get access to whatever passage. But now, they all have it in their phone. They say, why don't you look up, Psalm 104, and read that for your penance, and then they get their phone out, there it is, Psalm 104. It's easy. It's hard to think of famine of the word in our times, because the word is available. It doesn't mean people are hearing it or reading it or pondering it, but it's certainly available. In print and especially digitally, you can get it on any gadget, anytime if you're connected. So what does famine of the word mean? Well, it means in our times, it doesn't matter how many Bibles you have stacked up in your room or how many apps that have access to scriptures on your phone, if you're not listening, you're still experiencing a famine. And that's what happens, especially in affluent societies where people are filled with worldly things and they think that's the good life. So sure, they have access to the Bible, but they're not interested. Who cares about the word? I mean, I want to get the latest news about such and such celebrity or breaking news or latest video on Instagram or something. I'm not worried about the word. I got to keep up with my social media. That's where the famine comes in, right? People are not listening to the word. They don't care about the word. And what happens then is a kind of spiritual starvation. And that's what we see in our times. It's not that God is not speaking. It's not that God's word is not available. It's that people are not eating. And that's a terrible condition to be in. Now, thinking about that and why people do that to themselves or why they're left in that condition, we can look again at the great story of the call of Matthew, which is today's gospel. We read of this account of the call of Matthew or Levi many times during the years. I'm sure you know this story. There he is collecting taxes. He's a tax collector, meaning he's a bad guy and he's doing a bad thing. And Jesus comes along, says, "Follow me." That's all he says. Matthew gets up, leaves his tax collecting life and his sinful past behind, and he follows the Lord. It's a great story of conversion. It's the kind of the essence of conversion. Hearing the word and following the word. Hearing the Lord, the call, and following the call. That's conversion. This applies to all of us. So what happened? I mean, here's Matthew. He's got money. He's got security. He's got the good life, probably comfortable life, good clothes. He's got what the world would say is the good life. Why leave all that behind? Because he's experiencing a deep hunger for something else. It has to be. Otherwise, he would not have gotten up. If he was satisfied with his life as a tax collector, he would not have gotten up to follow the Lord. But he must have experienced, whether he is fully aware of it or not, I don't know, but he must have experienced deep in his heart a famine something missing. Something is a deep hunger that is not being satisfied by getting more money and more things and more power and more comforts. That doesn't satisfy this deep hunger. And that's true of everybody. So when Jesus comes along and feeds him, he says, this is what I'm hungry for. I don't need all this other stuff. He abandons it all and follows the Lord. So that's the greatness of responding to the word. But in this same gospel, the Pharisees come along and see these tax collectors and sinners eating. Yeah, they're eating at a banquet, but they're also eating the word, right? We're welcoming, there's no famine of the word because they're with Jesus. And the Pharisees say, what's going on here? Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he allowing himself to be defiled, and why is he bothering with people who are obviously sinners? You can see the attitude there. Self-righteousness, religious complacency, judgment of others. The very thing that Amos was attacking in his day when he was prophesying for the northern kingdom of Israel. Pharisees look very holy. They do all the right religious things and they say the right religious words. But when it comes to concern for others, it's not there. They just think that those sinners should not be around, and anybody who claims to be holy should not hang around them. Well, Jesus gives the brilliant response to that error, that those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. If you're well, you don't need a physician. I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. So if you're righteous, I'm not calling you. If you're not hungry, I'm not feeding you. If you're not interested in what God has, well, then you won't have it, because you didn't come to affirm people in their own self-righteousness. If we're denying our own spiritual hunger, then we're doing that to ourselves. We're leaving ourselves cut off from the care of the physician. If we're denying that we're sick, if we're denying that we're in need of a doctor, well, then we won't have one. And it's not God's fault. So that's what we see here. The Pharisees are actually, even though they might be reading the scriptures every day because that's part of their religious life, they're actually experiencing a famine of the word because it's not penetrating their hearts, and they're left without the very life-giving word, the source that is the only thing that satisfies us. The Pharisees are left outside the banquet. You can see them looking at Jesus and the tax collectors and the sinners all eating, and they themselves are saying, what about that? They're not eating, they're experiencing the famine. So I think it's the liturgy is brilliant in putting these two readings together, this prophecy of such a thing as a famine of the word, and then a gospel passage which reveals some people who eat the word and some people who don't. And that those who are benefiting from the word are Matthew and his friends, the tax collectors and sinners, the sinners who welcome the care of the physician. What does it mean for us? We are sinners. We're sinners. We should never lose our identity as sinners. Not that we're condemning ourselves or saying we're cut off from God, but that we are always in need of the mercy of God, and we always welcome the word of God, whether it's an encouraging, strengthening word or a challenging, piercing, convicting word. Doesn't matter. We need the word. We need the care of a physician. We need the spiritual life. And as long as we acknowledge that, he has plenty for us. As soon as we shut the door and say, I'm fine, I don't need anything from God, I'm doing well already, then we end up starving.